welcome our visitors here today. And our regular preacher is out of town visiting his children, so I'd like to welcome you back at a future time when you can hear a preacher that does this well enough to get paid for it. But in the meantime, I wanted to spend a few minutes this morning talking to you about the Lord's Supper. This is a subject that we talk about from time to time, and we just do that as a reminder about what it means. We meet here on the Lord's Day morning, and we take the Lord's Supper, and one of the criticisms of the denominational world is that because we take it every week, it gets to just be a formality. We kind of go through the motions without really taking the time to think about what it is that we're doing. And so if we're going to take it every week, it really falls to us to make sure that it does stay special and that we do remember why it is that we take the Lord's Supper and why we do what we do. So to begin with, just like to talk a little bit about why we take the Lord's Supper every week. There's actually very little in the New Testament that talks about our morning worship service. There's no commandment in the New Testament that says you need to meet every week on the first day of the week. The instructions that we have from the Bible fall into a couple of categories. There are the things that are commanded and the things that we do because of biblical example, or by tradition even, perhaps. And the meeting on the Lord's Day is really just from biblical example, not from commandment. There are only a couple of verses in the New Testament that even refer to it, and those were read earlier today. We do have the example that was read before the contribution was made that says on the first day of the week to set some money aside. And if you think about it, it doesn't say anything about doing that at church. You could actually do that at home if you wanted to, and set some money aside and say this is for the Lord. And in the context of that verse, it actually means Paul's going to come through later and make a collection for the saints at Jerusalem. And so he says put aside that money and keep it so that whenever I get there, you've already got this money collected and I can take it to the saints in Jerusalem. So it's not even quite the same thing as the contribution that we do today that's for the benefit of our local congregation. The other verse that talks about it is whenever we're given the commandment about breaking bread. And in Acts 20, verse 7, it tells us that, by example, that the apostles got together on the first day of the week to break bread. And that's really our biblical example that we use for even meeting here at all on Sunday morning, and for using that as the time for taking the communion or the Lord's Supper. And we take it every week because the context of the verse says it was the first day of the week and they got together to break bread. So the implication is that they did meet every week. And so because of this this very thin amount of support for even meeting on Sunday morning and taking the Lord's Supper there, some have even criticized that we meet on the first day of the week. They say we should still meet on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And a lot of that comes from the traditions that we read about from writings outside the Bible that said that the early Christians did, in fact, meet on the first day of the week because that was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And so we read that they did meet together and they did take the Lord's Supper every day or every week on that day. So that's the support for why we take the Lord's Supper every week. But the main focus of the lesson this morning is talking about the meaning of the Lord's Supper, why we do it, and what we should be doing during the Lord's Supper. So what I would like to talk about this morning is is the things that we do during that. One of them is that we look backward. One is we look inward, we look upward, and we go forward, or look forward. So those are the different ways. Kind of part of the inspiration here is the children's book. You know, it's kind of inside, outside, upside down. One of my favorite ones to read to the kids before they went to bed, because it was fun and catchy and had cute pictures, and you could read it in about 15 seconds. So it made a good nighttime story because of that. But that's kind of the way that we think about this. And first off, we look backward whenever we're looking at the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial. And in fact, in the verses that were read to us, the one in Luke that was read to you, it was a memorial about what happened on that night whenever Jesus was betrayed. And we often think about the Last Supper as the example of the Lord's Supper, but the feast that we take here isn't a memorial of that Last Supper. The feast that we're taking is a memorial of the crucifixion. And the what we're looking back at is that historical event, not just of that Passover meal. What we're looking back at is the crucifixion of Jesus, the sacrifice that he made in giving his body on the cross. So we're supposed to remember that. That's part of the purpose of this, is for us to remember Jesus' body on the cross and his sacrifice. Because God knows that we're a forgetful people. We can read all through the Bible and we can see just how forgetful the human race is. You can read in Judges over and over where his people that he had set up in Israel would be very faithful for a short time, and then they would fall away, and then they would be conquered by their enemies. And so then they would become faithful again, and the Lord would raise up a judge, a military leader. They would conquer their enemies, and they would be faithful through the lifetime of that leader, and then they would fall away again. And this happened in just a repeated cycle over and over and over. And so God designed this meal so that we would meet every week and be reminded of the sacrifice, so that we wouldn't fall away and we wouldn't forget what it is that he did for us. And so we can remember that the events of that night as we look backward when we're taking the Lord's Supper. But the next part is looking inward. It's not just a look back. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is not just a history lesson. It's sort of a self-examination. And in fact, that's often said during the prayer, let us examine ourselves. And that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So examining ourselves means thinking about, not just about Jesus' sacrifice, but about why that sacrifice was necessary. The sacrifice was required because of things that we did, of our sin. So we're the ones that made it necessary for Jesus to die on the cross. And that's something that we should always remember, that we have redemption of our sins through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And so we shouldn't just remember his sacrifice and how nice it was that he did that for us, but remember that it's our sins that created the need for him to be there to begin with. Our sins and the sins of our ancestors are the reason why we do that. So as we examine ourselves, we think about the way that we live our life. Are we living a life worthy of that sacrifice? If somebody sacrificed themselves to save your physical life, sometimes it would cause people to examine their lives and say, why was I worth this other person giving their life to save mine? And so in that sense, you might rethink your life and what you're doing with it, whether or not it's being wasted, whether that person who sacrificed their life to save yours, whether their life was in vain. whether they should have even done what they did. And so that's what we do. Christ purchased the church with His own blood. He gave up His life for us. So what are we doing with His sacrifice? What are we doing with our lives that makes His sacrifice not be in vain? So we think about that. We think about the unity that we have. That sacrifice is what draws all of us together. There are many of us from many different backgrounds in here, different cultures, different races. All of these people that are gathered in this room have that one thing in common, and that's the death of Jesus Christ. The people all throughout the world that on the first day of the week are worshiping God all have that one thing in common, no matter how different we all are. The different beliefs that we have and the different priorities that we have and the different cultures that we have all converge on that one event throughout history. And it's helpful to know that Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for our unity, that we would all be one that night before He sacrificed Himself. But this also gives us a chance to look upward. We've looked backward and we've looked inward, but we need to look upward, up at God. It's a chance for us to worship God and to worship Jesus as God's Son. It was the love of God that is the reason why Jesus did come down and make that sacrifice. He could have just written us off. Remember, that's what He did in Noah's day. He said, the people are not following what I wanted them to do, so we'll just wipe off the people off the face of the earth and start over. All except for Noah and his family. So He could have just done that again whenever He saw how evil the human race had become. But instead, He had a different plan. He said that He loves His people and He cares about them. And He wants the best for them, and He wanted to create a way for you to be a better person and a way for you to end up being with Him for all eternity. And so He provided that way. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So it was that love for us is the reason why God was willing to sacrifice His only Son. And how many of us would be willing to make that same sacrifice? Sometimes we might would be willing to sacrifice ourselves for a cause. But would you be willing to sacrifice your son for a cause? That's a whole different thing. It's something where you have to really place a lot of priority on certain issues. The reason why Jesus made the perfect sacrifice is because He was perfect. He was sinless. That was what made the sacrifice worthwhile. A key part of sacrifice in the Old Testament was that it had to be a perfect sacrifice. You couldn't take the lame sheep or the blind sheep or the runt of the litter. That wasn't an acceptable sacrifice. You had to take an animal that was perfect, an animal that was the best of your flock, and that was the sacrifice. And that was the sacrifice that God gave for us. We were talking about that in the teen class this morning, about the sacrifice that Jesus made, that His reward for living a perfect, sinless life was that He was crucified on the cross. He was executed for living a good life. So we said that you don't always have good things happen to you because you do good things. This isn't a karma thing where you do good things and good things always happen to you. In this case, Jesus lived a perfect life, and yet He was still executed. And so but in essence, it still turned out to be a good thing for us. That was God's plan all along, was that Jesus would live a perfect life, and that He would give the best that He had to offer for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God is hoping that because of that sacrifice that He made, that we will live a more righteous life. That's the change that He wants brought about in us. Just as if a human sacrificed himself to save your physical life, and you re-examined your life because of it, that's what God wants us to do. What kind of life should we live to be worth Jesus' sacrifice? And so that's what He wants us to think about. The last thing that we should be doing whenever we're going through the Lord's Supper and through the communion is looking forward. Because that's part of the Lord's Supper, is thinking about going forward. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes." So it's a reminder about the future, that we're supposed to continue this memorial feast until Jesus returns. And so that's the future that we're looking forward to. And God's doing this for us because He knows we're forgetful. This is to remind us continually, every single week, until Jesus comes back, what it is that He did for us, the sacrifice that He made for us. In the Old Testament, He kept reminding the Israelites about how He saved them from the Egyptians, how He led them out of bondage, and how He parted the Red Sea. And He had to keep reminding them over and over and over about that. He said, "Don't forget, I'm the God that rescued you. So you need to keep worshiping Me during that time, not these other gods that you encounter in the land of Canaan that are worshipped by all these people that I told you to kill, but you didn't." So He says, you should keep worshiping Me during that time. And this is our reminder. This is, as Russ likes to say, our Red Sea event. This is the thing that we keep being reminded about, is Jesus' sacrifice, because Jesus is coming again. So that's our motivation here. If Jesus were never coming back and this life that we were living is all there was, what incentive would we have? We're just living for this life. But what He's reminding us about is that He is coming back and that there is a better life that's been promised to us. And so that's the future that we're looking forward to. In Acts 1, 10 through 11, it says, "And while they looked steadfast," this is after Jesus ascended back to heaven, "and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go to heaven.'" So, in the same way that He ascended to heaven, the angels told the apostles He's going to come back the same way. That this is something that we should be looking forward to. John 14, 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So we need to be looking forward. We need to be thinking about the future whenever we go through the Lord's Supper. So I encourage you, as each week, whenever we go through the Lord's Supper, this is a very special event. This is one of the focal points of why we come together on the first day of the week. It's not to come and listen to me. It's not to come to even listen to Russ. It's not for the purpose of singing the songs. All those things are beneficial to us. All those things are helpful to us. They're all things that we should be doing. But the Lord's Supper is the focal point. It's why we're here. It's why we gather on the first day of the week, is to remember Jesus' sacrifice. And so that's the whole reason why we assemble on the first day of the week. So let's not let it become something ordinary. I know my grandmother was very upset when some men came in from hunting and served the Lord's Supper in their camouflage. She didn't feel like that was appropriate, that didn't show the proper reverence for the event. And while in one sense what we're wearing doesn't have a lot of bearing on how we worship, her idea was they don't recognize the importance of what they're doing. If you had an important person coming to visit the town and you were going to get the chance to go and meet them, you would probably dress up and not wear your hunting clothes. And so that was her feeling about it, was that we're going here to commune with the God of our universe, and you're going to wear your hunting clothes there? So it just served as an illustration about how we view this event that we're participating in. It's not something that's ordinary, something earthly. This is something that God shared with us, a chance for us to commune, not just with each other, but with the Lord, our God, and our Creator. This is our opportunity to meet with Him and to remember what it is that He did for us. So we look backward at those events, at what happened. We look inward at what effect this event should be having on us. We look upward at the God who created this memorial feast, that created us, and that made the way possible for us to be saved. And then we look forward in recognizing what's going to happen, what's in our future, what's waiting on us. The fact that Jesus is going to return one day when we're not expecting Him. There are many times people predict that the Lord's going to return or the world's going to end on this day. That's one day you can cross off your calendar, because the Bible says when we're not expecting Him, then Christ is going to return and this life will be over. And at that point, it's too late for second chances. Or if something happens to us and we die, our second chances are over. So this is our opportunity that we have in order to make ourselves right with God. So I encourage you this morning to think about it. How have you been living your life? Have you been living your life in a way that Jesus' sacrifice was not in vain? Jesus gave His life for you as an individual. You were one of the people that was on His mind when He was making that sacrifice on the cross. So what kind of an effect has that had on you? Has it had any effect at all? Have you even paid any attention to the fact that Christ gave His life for you? So if you haven't thought about it in that way, now's a good time to think about it in that way. A chance for you to think about the God who made you, the God who gave His own Son to save you, and the God that we remember every week when we come back here and we participate in the Lord's Supper. So if you haven't made that commitment in your life to serve God and to turn your life over to Him in response to what He's done for you, you've got an opportunity this morning to do that. We have a baptistry that's been prepared and hopefully has warm water in it, where you could be baptized, where you could wash away those sins that you're guilty of in your past. You've also got an opportunity this morning if you've forgotten what God did for you, if you've forgotten that sacrifice that He made for you. You've got an opportunity where you could receive the prayers of the church, where you could have people help you get your life right in view of the fact that He is going to return and that He is going to take the ones that are going to be saved back with Him. If you want to be one of those people, you have an opportunity to get your heart right, to get your life right. So Ted is going to be in the back if anybody would like to have I'm sorry, you're leading the songs. He's not going to be in the back. So if you have a need and would like to have the prayers of the church, or if you'd like to give your life to Christ, you've got an opportunity to do either of those things while we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.